Buckeyes, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
I've got a halftime score for you. And the reason I'm presenting this halftime score is if when the NBA schedule came out, whenever it came out, or August, whatever, I like to look at the worst game of the year. Like, what's the worst matchup of the year? Everyone looks at the best matchups. And tonight we have a matchup that maybe you could say worst matchup of the year. The time of year, the two teams playing. We have at halftime, Kyle, we have the Hornets and Pistons are tied at 52.
How about Dang. That? Somebody got to win that game too, right?
Yeah.
That can't end in a tie.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? My son texted me the morning of the Terry Rozier trade. And he was like, the Hornets have the worst front office ever in the league history. It's like, what are they trying to do there? Like, they've had multiple lottery picks, multiple cracks at it, and they still can't win. And now they're a shell of themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
so can we have PJ Washington, please?
Right, right. Just, they're like a yard sale right now. You know what I mean? You go by, you know what? That looks good. What's that, $2? I'll take it, you know? Hopefully we can get PJ at a discounted rate.
Who in your mind is the... like the face, all-time face of the Hornets.
All-time
face. We had this conversation when they were here.
Of the Hornets.
And for me, I'll just say for me, I'm not saying he's the best, but for me it's Muggsy.
Yeah, Muggsy Bogues. I would go Glenn Rice.
Ooh. Boy, he could shoot.
Yeah, he could shoot. Glenn Rice, Alonzo Mourning.
Uh-huh.
Larry Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. Dell.
Dell. Those that would be the five right
Muggsy's
there.
Muggsy's not
would,
on your... Oh,
no, okay. No, including Muggsy, yeah. Yes. Because... I know Muggsy played with the Bullets back in the day. Remember, they were the Bullets.
That's right.
But when I think Muggsy, I immediately go to the Hornets, that outfit, that uniform.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Drive Guys here. And by the way, all guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. I don't think Hornets Pistons will have very, very good TV ratings. But speaking of TV ratings, we have the ratings now for the NFL weekend. No surprise, they're huge. Of course, it's the best football weekend of the year. But Kyle, listen to these numbers. Okay, 2023, last year, the Saturday afternoon game was Chiefs and Jags. That did 34.3 million. This year, Saturday afternoon, Texans Ravens, 31.8 million. So that's actually down. So it's like, wow. Well, that stands out because Saturday night last year, Giants and the former playoff team known as the Eagles.
Yeah.
They did on Fox 28.6 million. Saturday night, Packers Niners on Fox, 37.5 million. The Sunday afternoon game last year, Bengals Bills, CBS, 39.3 million. Sunday afternoon this year, NBC Bucks Lions, 40.4 million. And then last year, Sunday night, Cowboys Niners on Fox, 45.6 million in 2023.
Wow.
Sunday night, Chiefs Bucks on CBS, 50.3 million viewers.
50.3 yeah. million?
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. I mean, that's a huge matchup. Higher than Cowboys Niners, though?
Yeah.
That's.
I don't know why, but the ratings this year in the NFL.
They are just.
And who knows? Maybe it's the way they're. Maybe they're.
Cooking the books, cooking the numbers.
I don't know. But, man. Just people can't get enough football. We know that, and we know that, and I know that. Then I see the numbers, yeah. And I'm still
You're
surprised.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
It's NFL, and what was it, 2 weeks ago? Like, we looked at the top 100, you know, TV viewing all of last year.
The highest-rated sports programs for the entire year.
Yeah, and NFL was like 47 to 50
I think
or
it was
something.
Like
something
56,
crazy.
Top
56.
We're all NFL games.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And then it was like a college football game.
Why do you think that is, though? Because here's the question I'm asking. Players getting hurt. Mm-hmm. Calls for a boycott. Mm-hmm. Roger Goodell. All the negativity that comes with the NFL. And every week it seems like, oh, I'm done. I'm not watching this game anymore. But yet people keep coming back for more and more and more. Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of it is the way the NFL is set up. It's perfect for our lifestyles now. Mm. People are so busy. You got one game a week, basically, and it's a big game every week, right?
So right.
I can do, you know, and we're fans of the NBA. I'm a baseball fan, so I follow daily. But, you know, for a lot of people, it's like, I don't have time to follow every day what the team's doing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have time for that. But just one
check the standings every day.
Yeah. One game a week, and it's a big game, and it's on the weekend. I can gather everybody.
And fantasy football, too.
Yes, like yes,
big
yes.
Part about it.
Yes. Yeah, I always forget about that, but you're right. And it's just the game is made, for the most part, for TV.
Yeah, you're right. It's, you know, to your point, I like going to basketball games. I like being in the arena, the crowd. But football games, I'd rather be at home, you know. Because during the commercials, you go to your bathroom. Like being at an NFL game, I went to that Niners Seahawks game. There's a lot of downtime when you're there. And a lot of times you don't know what's going on. You're like, you know, like at least at home, you know, you got the announcers trying to explain it and you got replays and all that.
To a degree. Yeah. And I know like it's going to be a great atmosphere this week. But it's almost as if you pay to go to a football game, it's like you've paid to be an extra in a film.
Extra in a film. And you've dedicated your whole day.
Yeah.
Your entire day to a football game. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can go to a grocery store and, you know, go hang out with friends before. I mean, you're tailgating, but that's an all-day affair going to an NFL game.
Emil, Nate, do you guys know, I saw this today and I forget, what the prices are for tickets on the secondary market for the game Sunday?
I don't know, but I keep seeing stuff about how many Detroit fans are going to be there.
What?
And I will say, being there last week, there were more Packers fans than I expected. I know the Packers are one of those broader teams. But what did throw me for a loop, it was hard to tell because so many ponchos were on. So there was a lot of green poncho. It was weird. It was, so sounds silly, but it's true. But there definitely were. Driving there, you see kind of how many, but I don't know about the prices.
Mm-hmm. Here's Emil, your friend. Can Emil Fragoso
cheapest
speak?
Ticket on the secondary market right now is $4.93.
Cheapest. $4.93.
I know exactly what seat that is too, because I was in it when I went to that seat.
But you didn't have to pay for it.
I didn't
right?
have to pay. I got the free tickets, but it was in the last row. Like literally, I thought a good wind could sweep me. I fall back and fall over the side. That's how far up.
Which game did you go to again?
Seahawks. Niners.
Oh, the Okay.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Why didn't they take care of you?
They gave me free tickets. They gave me free.
Come on.
I didn't know where the seats were. I went through NBC, and my guy at NBC is like, yeah, we got it. And so they gave me four tickets. That's pretty, you know, impressive.
Yeah.
But I had no idea. Dude, I was like Mike Brown out there. Like, you would think Mike Brown, where he goes, he get the suite or something. No, I was in there with the Commodores. I was the dead last row, and we were in the middle, too.
And then you feel kind of bad because you got to, like, you know that the people that you came with, your family or whatever, they expected better, right?
Oh, yeah. No. Fortunately, I had the kids.
Oh, okay.
They're 14 and 11. Like, they don't deserve better, you know? But, but me, I'm kind of bougie when it comes to my seats. Like, sure. I'm not an upper-level kind of guy. I'm not.
No, I never have pegged you as an upper-level kind of guy. Not once. I've seen your car.
Come on, man. Come on. That is a nice car. Mercedes-Benz nice of Stockton. Go check them out.
Hey, Kyle Draper here. Drapes. Also known as Drapes. I think the 49er has the most to prove this week, and I think you guys may disagree. To me, and Brock Purdy this, Brock Purdy that, it's Kyle Shanahan. Because he still hasn't won a Super Bowl, and he's got a chance to get back to one. And if he doesn't get back to one, that'll be another NFC championship game loss. And then you're just Andy Reid before he got to the Chiefs.
Let me ask you this, too, because you guys are Niners fans and everything. I remember the talk before this season. Is that Shanahan got to get it done this year?
Yep.
And now people would be questioning him.
Uh-huh.
The run that they've been on, you think that still exists?
I do. And I think he'll do it, but I think it's a fair question. If he doesn't, it's going to be, well, man, the window's closing at some point.
Yeah.
You know, they were kind of ahead of schedule when they got 2019 and they got there and they should have won and they didn't. And they haven't been back since, obviously.
You know, and here's the thing, though, about Kyle Shanahan. Like, this team is tailor-made from talent-wise. Like, what more can John Lynch do? What more can be added? Maybe upgrade the secondary. Maybe you want to shore up the offensive line a little more. But it's there for Kyle Shanahan and to lose to the Lions. Now, is it just getting to the Super Bowl, or do you got to win the Super Bowl?
You
got to
win, too.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you lose to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, Kyle Shanahan's going to be questioned? If you lose to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Depends how it happens, but yeah, because this was the year. This was the year, okay, you're here to win a Super Bowl, and this is the year you're supposed to do it. You know, that's not fair, but that's the reality of it. if you don't get to the Super Bowl, then it's like, what's wrong with you?
So let me ask you this. I like to play devil's advocate in case you didn't know at home. That's what I like to do.
By the way, you didn't even get my Eagles shot about Andy Reid. How?
No, he didn't win. Yeah. Okay. He had to leave to go win it. Yeah. You know, but my guy Doug Peterson and the boys, you know, they took care of it
for us.
Yes, exactly. No, but when you look at, you know, this Niners team and this matchup with the Lions, if they lose to Patrick Mahomes, is that anything to hang your hat on? Like, you can't hold your head down. Like, that's what I mean.
Well, you know
like,
why?
You can't be ashamed. What?
Because Shanny didn't want Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh, yeah. Yo, that would be bad. Yeah.
They had a chance to take him. But they didn't draft him. You know why? Because they thought they were going to get Kirk Cousins.
Exactly. Kirk Cousins. He would have been the answer.
So that comes back to haunt you a little bit. If you lose him again.
If you get rid of him, talking about Shanahan, who you going to get?
I don't know.
Who's
and I'm
the
not,
replacement?
Yeah, I
That's
hope,
the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, who's the upgrade?
Right.
What, three straight NFC championship games? Maybe another Super Bowl berth? Who's your upgrade? Who's going to do better?
I'm with you on that. I'm with you, and I'm not suggesting they should get rid of him. You know how people are, though. It's unfair. For example, somebody on the chat here was just, I think it was Crown Royal. Did you say?
I'm going to start banning that dude. He's just negative, man.
But he had hashtag Monty McPhail.
See, it's just come on.
Well, here's the thing. It's so funny because it reminds me of when Jeff Petrie was here, and people, and I know he didn't, everything he did wasn't brilliant, but he was a great GM. Jeff Petrie took two different teams, Kings teams, and got them into the playoffs.
Right.
Somebody gets one Kings team in the playoffs, like, well, where do you want your statue?
Right.
He did it with two different teams, and still people say, oh, Petrie doesn't know what he's doing. Mm. And it's ludicrous.
Say that again.
It's ludicrous. I'm telling you what, it's ludicrous.
No, it really. Well, that's the thing about Shanahan, man. It's like that. Here's the thing, though. I don't think, at least in my opinion, if they come up short, it would be an indictment on him. He wouldn't be the reason why. It's not a shortcoming for him. It may be because of Brock. It may be because of secondary. It may be because of line or something like that. But for me, I would not point. He's done fantastic things here in San Francisco.
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier. Where's he at on the pantheon of Niners coaches?
I think right now.
Fourth? At worst?
Was it, and maybe it's he has to win this week.
Right.
He would become, or he's already become, the guy with the coach with the highest postseason winning percentage in the history of the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. So what are we talking about here?
We're talking about.
The bling guy, come on, man.
Would
I
know you're right, but
he would
know
be ahead
I'm
of
right.
Harbaugh, that's, right? Well, is he ahead? He's ahead of Harbaugh? Would he?
To me, he is, and I think there are some who would disagree with that.
Yes, I wouldn't. I think what he's accomplished, come on, he's put this team franchise on the map now.
Yeah.
You know, and he's, in my opinion, he's behind Walsh, obviously.
But we're not like the Eagles or those other teams. We're supposed to win Super Bowl.
Nah, it's been decades now.
Like, exactly.
That's the thing. You're not like the Eagles. The Eagles are more relevant, you know, in the last 10 years than the Niners. At least we got a Super Bowl.
There you go.
But is he ahead of Seifert?
In my opinion, yes, because Seifert was kind of had some success.
So you're talking arguably the second greatest coach in Niners history.
Yeah, except he hasn't won a Super Bowl. Yes, sir.
I mean, if Shanahan inherited that Walsh team, though, they would have won a Super Bowl, right?
Right, yes.
Right, sure. I think that's the comparison. But I personally, as a diehard Niners fan, I think he eclipses Seifert.
Yeah, but I do too.
And it's really tough to say. But Seifert was right there with Walsh pretty much the whole time, on his staff.
Yeah, he was there, right.
So it's... It's a little different, but I love Shanahan.
Yeah, but he's got to win a Super Bowl, right? I mean, you don't want to
give him 3 weeks.
Okay,
but
I will.
If
I
he
will.
Doesn't
That's
win, he's not out the door. John Lynch.
No, I know that.
But there were some people that thought, you know, he might be on the hot seat if they don't get it
that
done
has
this year.
Been like every offseason with him almost.
Right.
Like when they weren't getting good before Jimmy G. Like that's one thing, and then I think people just get upset and are confused on some decisions he makes and feel like he shoots himself in the foot. And
like
a lot
the
of
Trey
people,
Lance thing.
A lot of people hold on to the Atlanta Hawks, Falcons,
Super
Bowl.
Right.
So I think a lot of people hold that over his head. I think he might too.
So, yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, and he traded all those picks to move up to get a guy that he decided. Yeah, he's not very
good. He's not even hard. Yeah,
yeah. We'll but you win one, and then all of a sudden it's like,
it's like you win one,
you're the guy.
You atone for all of the previous mistakes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So he's got to do that. We'll take a timeout when we come back.
Got
a shot with the left hand.
Lefty.
Great teaser, because KD wonders why he's not in the GOAT conversation. Did you see that?
Yes,
and
I
one
did.
Of his former teammates has the answer. And we'll have it for you next year. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Oh, yeah. Oh, we've been having so much fun talking 49er football. And, of course, after our show, we've got the Return of the Empire. And so we'll be talking to them right before their show begins about Shanny's play calling. Back to that about Kyle Shanahan. So much to prove this week, Drapes. I know you disagree, but woo, he's got a lot to prove this week. And I think he'll get it done.
You think so?
I think so.
I mean, they're the favorite. They're the better team. But they were the better team this past week and almost choked it up.
Yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Kyle, let's get to, hello. Yeah, let's get to Tin, please, on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Tin, what's up? You're on with the Drive Guys.
What's up? Why? How you guys?
Good. What can we do for you today?
Good. Tom Coughlin, is he already in the Hall of Fame?
I don't think he is yet. No.
I don't think so.
Why? Are you putting him in there?
Well, you know, okay, yeah, he has the Super Bowls. But think about, you guys were just talking about the Giants and Eagles. You know, they have so many primetime matchups over the years, especially on, you know, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And the Giants always fell short. You know, they never got it right with Philly. And so, with, you know, just based off of that, man, I don't think if Coughlin was like maybe Belichick status, you know, I'd throw him in there. But I don't know if the two rings are enough. They're just so far apart from each other, too, you know.
Yeah, thanks, Tin. I don't know. I think maybe Tin was trying to take a shot at your Eagles. I don't know.
No, I don't know. Yeah, was he really?
Maybe.
Tin wouldn't do that to me. He would not do that to me.
TC on Sacktown Sports. Hello, TC. How are you?
What's up with my brothers, man?
Hey.
You sick, TC? What's going on, bro?
Nah, my bad. I was just talking kind of low. My bad.
All right. What you got, man?
Nah, we good. Let's keep it simple. I got a little bit about Niners and Kings. More Kings, though. First of all, as far as the Kings, let's keep it simple. Hey, Whitey Drapes, I don't care about those draft picks, bro. Like, if it's bringing in Jeremy Grant, like, I know Zach LaVine's contract is kind of funny, but when it comes down to, like, those picks, I don't care about none of those picks, man. Shoot those picks out and bring a guy in here to bring in some help and move on. Like, if we hold on to King, like, come on, man, this is the Kings. Like, we are diehard Kings fans, but come on, man, we don't care about those picks. Make those picks, move on, bro, if we bring
so
in
hold
the
up,
guy.
So, hold up, TC. Alex Caruso, you giving up two first-rounders for? Okay.
Alex, I'm not doing that. But for, like, Jeremy Cruz, somebody like that, I'm thinking about it, bro, and I'm damn near, I'm almost going to pull a trigger on that. As far as, like, Kyle Shanahan, he gets in his way. Like, all the whole, like, he's always in his way, Drapes. And that's what a lot of people are saying. Like, his play calling, he's choking, like, his decision-making. As far as with, like, Lance, like, I told the guys earlier, if he knew that Brock Purdy was a guy, then he would have been a third-round special, Kyle's third-round special. They wouldn't have waited to the last round to draft this guy. So, like, quit giving this guy all the credit. I know NFC Championship, but it's a team around him. Like, if Kyle had just a regular team, we got all pros at every position, period. We lucked up on those guys, bro. Like, this isn't just, oh, I'm picking these guys and they're turning into something. No, these were some dudes coming out of college. So, like, if Kyle had a regular team, would he really still be, like, doing what he's doing right now?
I don't know, TC, but thanks for calling, but you have to give him credit because I know Lynch is the GM, but Kyle calls the shots.
Right,
so they have drafted upside down, you know, in recent years, the 49ers with their higher picks, they whiff, and then they get guys like Kittle in the fifth round and guys in the sixth and seventh rounds like Hufanga. But you have to give Kyle some credit for the roster, a lot of credit.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, to TC's point. We talk about Brock Purdy so much, Kyle Shanahan's system. You could argue Brock Purdy saved Kyle Shanahan's butt.
No question.
You know? Without Brock, the Trey Lance thing looks like a huge debacle, like a huge miss.
Here's the great offensive coordinator, and truly he has been, with a blind spot.
Who doesn't know how to
pick
quarterbacks.
Right? And he kept missing and missing. And then all of a sudden, whoa. Right. And then falling out of the sky. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, here's, yeah, Brock Purdy. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a huge break
for him.
That's
a huge break for him.
For both of them. I mean, Purdy's awfully lucky, too, that he ended up with the 49ers.
Right. And it's still.
But however you do it, if you win a Super Bowl, who cares how you do it?
This is a 30 for 30, right? From Mr. Irrelevant to Super Bowl champion.
30 for 30 is a freaking
Disney movie. You're
seriously,
right.
Seriously, I believe it.
You're 100% right, man. And so I think they both came along at the right time for each other. Talking about Brock and Shanahan. They both saved each other. And give Brock Purdy some credit. I know fans like, oh, Drape's giving, you know, tongue in cheek. No. Brock Purdy, I'm a firm believer, and I've said this in all walks of life. I don't care how you got the job, as long as you can do the job when you get it. And that's what Brock Purdy. I don't care that he was sixth round, anything. But once he got there, you know what? He's doing the job.
Yeah.
Give him credit.
As you pointed out, I mean, just think if, you know, if they hadn't pulled that game out, that's not a stretch to think that they, you know, something goes wrong, they don't pull the game out, the Carlson makes the field goal. Think of the questions we'd have now for Shanahan and for Brock Purdy and all of that. And now it's like, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Super Bowl, right?
It's like, I don't even remember that.
It doesn't matter. Thank you, Jordan Love, right? They can thank Jordan Love in that throw because, man, it might be some heads rolling out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We will come back with a look at KD and why he thinks he should be a GOAT. And would you believe the Kings have benefited from botched calls in the final 2 minutes more than almost any other team?
Yeah, so
that. You buying that? Well, look at the numbers next year. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports.
The Drive Guys powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Kyle Draper, can this be right? There's a guy who has a website, V-Ballalytics, V-Ballalytics.co, and I believe he's from Europe, and he's a big basketball fan, and he's a math guy, and he puts together a lot of different formulas. Anyway, he has done a study of the last two-minute reports.
Okay.
Daniel Bratulich is his name on Twitter, at Daniel underscore Bratulich. And he says the Kings have benefited from the last two-minute reports and errors made in those more than any other team in the league this year except for the Nuggets. He says only the Nuggets have benefited more from incorrect calls in the final two-minute reports than the Kings. It sure doesn't seem that way, does it?
It doesn't seem like that, no. Seems like we're on the short end a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there are mistakes that are made by the officials that don't happen to come in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm remembering, what was it, just a couple games ago where there was a goaltending at the...
Oh, yeah, guy grabbed the rim.
That was a Pacer game, right?
Yeah, that was Pacers, I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guy grabbed the rim on, who was it? Was it Malik going to the
right
basket?
At the end of the half.
At the end of the half, yeah. Yep.
And the thing is, if there's no call, then you can't review the call.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, it surprised me. I know last year when that report came out, the Kings, it showed the Kings were one of the teams that had been hurt the most by the last two-minute reports and errors made. That seemed right.
That seemed right.
I'm not sure I can buy this one.
We're not biased or anything like that, right? We're not seeing it with our purple goggles on or anything like that.
According to this, the Pelicans are the team that's been hurt the most by incorrect calls.
Yeah. Where do the Timberwolves rank after? Is this recent, like after... that last game,
good question.
Where they got jobbed seven times, I think it was.
Yeah, there were 10 missed calls in the Charlotte-Minnesota game in the last 2 minutes. And then did you see what Chris Finch said about that game afterwards?
No, what?
Really? Okay, because that was a game that...
Towns went off.
He scored 62.
Yeah.
And I have it here somewhere. Chris Finch was livid with his team.
With his team.
Yeah. He said that was
immature.
The most immature display
of
basketball, most selfish and immature display I've ever seen. Yeah. Quote, it was an absolute disgusting performance of defense and immature basketball.
And rightfully, how do you lose a game where a guy scores 62 against Charlotte of all teams? Mm-hmm. Like, come on. No, and I think Anthony Edwards only took like 8 shots in that game, 11, something like
Because they were feeding Cat.
Because they were feeding Cat. Like, it seems like because of the opponent, they went in with the mindset, players said, you know what? We're going to let Cat cook tonight.
Uh-huh.
And it came back to bite him.
Yeah.
Cat only had 4 points in the fourth quarter.
And he was forcing things, trying to pile up point totals.
Yep.
While on that same night, Embiid had said, anyway, he said, I told my teammates, don't force the ball to me. Mm-hmm. We got to play the right way. Mm-hmm. And Daniel House took a corner three, and he was getting booed. And Embiid said, that's too bad. He was just doing the right thing.
Right, right, yeah. You want to get to this Kevin Durant thing or what?
Yes. Yes, thank you for reminding me. Ramsey joins us on Sacktown Sports. What's up, Ramsey?
Not too much, gentlemen. Appreciate you taking my call.
What's up, Ramsey?
Kyle and I sometimes disagree, but when it comes to football and what he's been saying, he's preaching.
Yeah?
That quarterback number 13 for San Francisco is a game manager at best, and they should have been gone. They should have been gone on Saturday.
Then why weren't
Green
they?
Bay was the better, because Green Bay made too many mistakes. Green Bay made three mistakes. San Francisco made one. If the mistakes would have been even, Green Bay would have won because Green Bay played the better game. I hope Jared Goff comes home to the Bay Area, does what he needs to do to make it to Las Vegas.
Ramsey, you're not a 49er fan, are you?
Not in the slightest.
Yeah.
Who's your team, Ramsey? Who's your team?
They just hired a new, well, let's say interim now. Permanent head coach.
The Raiders.
Okay.
Yeah.
My guy, Ramsey, you could call anytime, man. You could call anytime. And I didn't put him up to that. He called him a game manager at best.
A Raider fan. Of course, a Raider fan is going to cast aspersions on a 49er quarterback.
A game manager at best.
Says a Raider fan, of course.
Yeah, he's a little biased. Yeah. One man's opinion.
All right. Long story short on Durant. I know we just have too much show, not enough time here, but we're getting back on track here. Kevin Durant was talking to the Arizona Republic this week. He said he doesn't understand why he's not part of the GOAT conversation. Quote, because I went to the Warriors, why shouldn't I be in that? That's the question you should ask. Why not? What haven't I done? End quote. What did you have to say about that, Kyle?
I don't think Kevin Durant is in the greatest of all time conversation, top five or anything like that. But I think, if I'm being honest, if we're putting Steph Curry in the top 10 conversation, we should probably start putting Kevin Durant in that conversation as well. And people say, oh, he went to join Steph's team. Well, Kevin Durant was the best player on that team. Here's the thing about being the greatest of all time. Usually you're always the best player on your team. Magic, even though they had Kareem, it was still Magic's team. LeBron, he's always been the best player. Jordan, always been the best player. I could argue Kobe wasn't always the best player on his team, Shaq. So that's why I don't put – but Kevin Durant should be in the top 10 conversation of all time, I think.
Mm-hmm. Draymond Green answered that question, and I think it's a great answer. And Draymond Green and KD, I think, are friends. I mean, I think they're pretty close. He said, and this was on his pod, I believe, quote, I think KD is one of the greatest scorers we've ever seen. Yes, it was on the Draymond Green show. The way KD, which I don't think has been released yet, the way KD scores the ball is so effortless. He's never seen a bad shot. He's going to get you 31 points on 14 shots. That is a normal KD night. Obviously, I'm not one that's going to be like, KD's championships aren't real. Stop it. There's no championship that's not real. Steph didn't get the credit that Steph gets today until 2022 when he led this team to a championship and won the finals MVP. When all else was failing, Steph said, all right, fellas, come on, let's go there, period. You got to go do what Steph did to get to that conversation. Draymond Green.
The craziest thing about it is, without Kevin Durant, Steph doesn't get to that level. Without Kevin Durant joining a 73-win team, Steph doesn't have four championship rings. And so that's why I put Kevin Durant in that top 10 conversation. Two-time finals MVP. MVP, regular season MVP. Scoring champ. Insane scoring numbers. Now, if we're just going to talk offense and not defense, you got to include him. But I can say the same thing about Steph Curry. Like, I think Kevin Durant arguably is one of the most underappreciated superstars in my lifetime.
Totally
he
agree.
Should be up there.
You know how I feel about Kevin Durant. And you laugh at me, but I think he's better than Kobe. So I agree with you in principle. But in principle, I'm with you. But I think that's when Draymond starts to talk, I tend to, here we go.
Yeah, he's going to always stick up for
I think stats. That's pretty insightful.
Yeah.
Because I remember, you know, I was doing some Warrior stuff at the time, and people were, oh, yeah, Steph's all this, but when he took over that series against the Celtics, and the Celtics, as you know, they were going to win that series, and they probably should have. It was game four, and Steph took over. It changed the whole narrative on Steph Curry.
It totally did. But I think with Kevin Durant, the thing that's, you know, holding him back is he joined the Warriors team. Right.
Yes.
But he was the best player on that team.
He was best player on one of the greatest teams we've ever seen.
Exactly. And you could argue he should have stayed there. They would have won more championships and that would have helped his legacy. But I never even hear Kevin Durant being mentioned top 10, let alone greatest of all time.
I know.
And I think he should be in that discussion. Multiple time champ, 13-time All-Star. I mean, what he's doing this season at his age and injury history, like, this is one of the most consistent players we've ever seen.
Remember the shot over LeBron in the finals?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he outdueled LeBron. Like, I don't know, like we said, they don't win that series without Kevin Durant, in my opinion. Kevin Durant was the best player. Kevin Durant's the reason why LeBron maybe doesn't have five championships, maybe six. And so I agree. I don't know about greatest of all time. I don't think he should be, but he should be. Like, I don't think Steph Curry's greatest of all time.
No.
And some people want to consider him that. I'm like, no. But Kevin Durant should be a top 10 player.
I agree with you 100%. How good do you think Durant still is? Is he good enough to drag that team into the finals? You've been higher on the Suns than me. Do you?
I do.
You've been higher than me on the Suns all year long.
I think the Suns can advance to the finals. Yes. Like, I think they might be a piece or two away. Maybe they make some small move. But I think at their best, yes, I think Kevin Durant can lead them to the finals.
He's a good defender. He's not Kobe-esque defensively.
Right, he's not Kobe.
But so, as Draymond said, so incredibly efficient offensively. And not just a guy that, well, he doesn't overwhelm you, but he's efficient. I mean, he is relentlessly efficient.
Yeah.
Big time. Like 31 points on 14 shots, the way Draymond puts it.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a huge impact on the
game. He's a cheat code.
Incredible shooter.
And somebody's saying, did he change the game? Well, kind of. You
guy
talk
that
about
big
shooting like that. We haven't seen anybody like that before.
You could say Dirk, but Dirk didn't shoot like he was
not like that. And Dirk didn't have the handles that KD will get it and break you down and get to his spot.
I'm with you. I don't think he gets the credit for the way he did change the game.
Yep, 100%. And Crown Royal, why didn't he win with the Thunder? Well, he did get the Thunder there.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden just didn't show up, and LeBron and him came back and won. But he got the Thunder there.
Yeah. And then that Thunder team almost beat the 73-win Warriors.
Yes. Yeah. Should have. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All right. Back to Shanahan and the 49ers. Is Shanny's play calling hurting the Niners? We'll kick that around with your good friend, Emil Fragoso.
Come on in, Emil.
And your other good friend, Nate Littlefield.
Nate, my guy.
Join us next as we get ready for Return of the Empire. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Thanks for being with us today. This has been too much fun. I kind of makes me sad, Kyle, to think, well, we got this segment. Then we got to turn it over to Emil and Nate for the Return of the Empire. But we're back at it tomorrow, right?
Yeah, back at it tomorrow. 3.5-hour show. Kings Warriors tomorrow. So not a full show, but
In Golden State, right?
In Golden State, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Draper in studio as well, again.
I'm in studio
tomorrow.
Two days in a row. Yeah, TNT game. So no TV duties
they keep
tomorrow.
You sidelined.
Yeah.
We're in Golden State now, you know. I mean,
that's true. That is a fact. You know, you really got to think about that. That's something people don't consider.
Really? We just need to think about
that. You just got to think about we're all the Golden State.
That's right.
That's true.
That drives Jerry Reynolds crazy. He's like, where are they, Golden State?
Yeah, right.
Where are
they, Golden State?
Yeah.
I mean, they should be the San Francisco Warriors now, right?
I think they tried. That's what they intended, but the brand is so strong.
Yeah.
Golden State, they couldn't really change it.
It's a great name. I mean, it's awesome. I always thought Florida was the Golden State for a long, but Florida's
Sunshine State.
Close.
Kids these days, man.
Oh, it's going to be quite an episode I can see already here of Return of the Empire.
Yeah.
Real information given right here.
And we're just going off the rails already, but I spent a whole drive to Oregon this summer just studying the state flags. Doing an app on my phone.
What's the show me state?
The Show Me State?
Missouri.
Yeah, you're right.
I didn't know that.
Come on.
Nate, that's a, man, what are you
that
doing?
That has nothing to do with the flag.
What's the Keystone State?
Wyoming.
Come on, bro.
Why would he be so upset?
I don't know. Why is he so
upset? Pennsylvania,
why
would
he be Oh, sorry.
I really
disrespecting my home state.
I thought it was Wyoming.
Emil, if you say
I thought Emil was right.
Wyoming and Pennsylvania, like, could be
I was right about
more opposite than each other.
Yeah, that's true. I just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could, we could talk flags all day.
Not taking him to trivia. No,
I got the first one right.
I guess.
Now I want Emil to explain what he thinks a keystone is.
What is a keystone?
It's a beer.
I don't know, but it
no,
was...
No, it's not that...
far as
what are you doing? It's a lager, right? No, come on, man.
That's what I thought.
No.
I'm out.
Emil and Nate, it's what have you guys thought of the 49er conversation we've had today? We talked about Brock Purdy. We talked about Kyle Shanahan. We talked about his play calling. And I was surprised today, Matt Maiocco, NBC Sports Bay Area, on his overreactions or not, there was one about... Kyle Shanahan's play calling can hurt the team. Matt Maiocco said, that is not an overreaction. Mm. I was stunned by that.
Yeah, he's correct.
Woo.
Wow.
He's correct. And Matt, and then he's not, I don't know if I should share this. Matt and Kyle got into a little bit of a testy thing.
Well, if you listen to the postgame, this was live.
This was live.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. It's not.
But it was snippy.
Those two pushed back each other. When Matt questioned Kyle on a couple things. Mm-hmm. Kyle kind of pushed back and was like, okay, what plays did I mess up, Matt?
He asked for specifics. That's
oh, really?
Yeah.
It was like that?
Yeah.
I was trying to convey that earlier. I don't think I did a very good job on the show because we were doing a comparison of, lightly, like Kings Media, how they're kind of more softball and more like wanting the whole city to do well because when the Kings do well, the city does well.
Yep.
You know, the Niners, it was more ruthless, for sure. And you could tell between Maiocco and Shanahan. Like, I think there's a respect there, no doubt in my mind. But Shanahan was like, all right, you better, you know, if you want to play this game.
Did Maiocco list some plays? Did he come back?
I think he listed one thing. Yeah, he was ready to go, too. Obviously a professional. Yeah. But Shanahan did kind of back off, I thought, a little bit after, and then go, yeah, you know, we did some things.
Yeah.
They were a little messy.
And Matt's a great reporter, but he's not one of those guys who go out of his way to be confrontational.
No.
That's not his nature, but
he's
a good reporter.
No, but he will call out the Niners and Kyle for their stuff. He's not afraid to.
Right.
He's been covering them for so long, he kind of feels like he has that gravitas, and I understand it as well, too. But even with guys like Matt who are, you know, connected with the Niners, there's some pushback there with it, too. So.
Yeah. So you say it's not an overreaction, huh?
It's not.
Ooh.
Because we've seen this before with Kyle. He overthinks stuff sometimes.
Right.
Look, Kyle Shanahan is probably one of, if not the greatest offensive mind in the NFL today. He is a genius when it comes to play calling. But sometimes when it comes down to crunch time situations, there's a reason why he was 0-30 when trailing in the fourth quarter. He doesn't live up to the moment sometimes. And now it's time to overcome that. I think his team can
1-30!
Yeah,
they got the one that matters.
I'm just saying, we're talking about numbers of Brock Purdy. The numbers don't lie when it comes in the clutch. Sometimes Kyle struggles, especially when trailing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was especially evident, and again, always already mentioned on the show today, but ended the second quarter, when he wanted to lap the Green Bay Packers, and he let the clock run out. He wasted like 45 seconds at the end of the half there, and then used a timeout, and it was very confusing, very weird, and it resulted in nothing. It resulted in nothing, and then they went 3-and-out right at the beginning of the third. Mm-hmm. That was that Juwan Jennings run that they meant to call for Debo.
But the wristbands weren't changed or something.
That was another kind of contentious question in there for sure, because it was when it was asked, it was just like, why do you have Juwan Jennings running the ball like that? And I thought that was a totally fair question.
Especially because who asked it?
Who asked it?
I can't say who it was.
Why not? You're going to know. Now
what?
You already did that. Now you have to.
You can't press conference.
It was one of the more controversial Niner.
It was Grant Cohn. It was Grant Cohn.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I tried.
You got to say, you can't tease it like that. I was trying not. I was trying to say
who asked it.
No, because you could hear. You know who it is. Like Jason Anderson asked De'Aaron Fox about the media question. That was his voice.
Right.
And it's like they're doing their job, their faces in their own right.
Right. I think Grant Cohn, he told me this, if I'm right, when Shanahan first got here, somebody said this, and I think it was him, said, hey, it's great to have you know, the West, a coach that runs the West Coast offense again. Can you tell me about that? And Kyle said, I've never run the effing West Coast offense.
Sounds like Kyle. Yeah.
I think a lot of people, and I'm included in this, just think West Coast offense means throwing the ball, right? Like that's because you think of Joe Montana, you think, oh, they just throw
don't
the ball.
Don't go to any Kyle press conferences. If you do, don't ask any questions.
I will. I was there. I was way too scared to ask a question. I was terrified.
That's right. You were there.
I was in there. I was 10 feet from him, and I'm just like,
I don't even ask them
any
questions.
Don't smirk
honestly.
Or anything. It's just.
The more experienced beat writers will get to it, the questions I already have.
And that's kind of the etiquette anyway, right? Is the beat writers from the dailies and.
Most of the time, yeah. Sometimes you have some people jump in
man,
too.
You better go down there and make a name for yourself, Emil.
I do.
Get the first question in.
No. That's not
and
how
make
that
sure
works.
You
know.
They're
the first question. Who gets
Mayoko.
It?
Man, always Mayoko.
Man, don't get me started on Matt Mayoko.
There's a couple guys up there.
Forget Matt Mayoko. Screw him.
Can I got to share something I did after the game, too. I want to know if you guys think this is, if I crossed a line or not.
Yes, you did. Go ahead. I'm
well,
sure
it involves
did.
Your guy, the most controversial guy in all of sports.
Okay.
So we're in the locker room post game.
Line cross.
Getting all the stuff. Yeah, I know. And the media cannot scrum around players that are going to the podium, right? So they had like six guys go to the podium, like all the stars. So like Juwan Jennings was being interviewed
the green helmet, that means he's going to the podium? With the helmet with the green dot on it? Or how do you know he's going to the podium?
They give
you a list.
Yell at you.
They yell at you.
I wasn't following the bit. I wanted to feed into the bit. Okay.
You don't know what that
the green dot
is?
With.
Dude, we're up against it here.
It's our show. Who cares? It's our show.
We can bleed into it.
And I'm technically still the producer of the show. So if my non-existent boss wants to come in here and tell me I'm messing up the clock.
10 seconds, Kyle.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, Brock Purdy's alone in the corner. No one's talking to him. He's standing there. And I'm like, all right. And I just go up to him. I go, Brock, that was a hell of a game, man. Good job. Give him knuckles. He goes, thanks, dude. And then we give knuckles, and I walk away, and I was like,
cross the line, big time. That is fanboy 101. That's terrible.
No more inviting him back.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm not going to the next one.
I thought you were going to ask him a question.
No, you can't
like
ask him questions.
Man, you can do whatever you want. You might get in trouble for it, but
you can redeem yourself if you can answer this question.
Oh, no.
For all the marbles, what is the Empire State?
New York.
I was about to say, if you don't know that, and your show is returning.
Return of the Empire is next.
I didn't name the show.
I didn't name the show.
NFC Championship game featuring the Detroit Lions and the San Francisco 49ers. Sunday at 3:30 on Sactown Sports and the Sactown Sports app.